Erevindaf Samach Aleph. We find ourselves on Samach Amid Beis. Here we are, the end of the fifth parak of Erevin, and we're concluding with a Chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Before reviewing the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, so that which we all know, if you're starting off in a city on Shabbos, that city for you is Dalet Amos. The entirety of the city is something where you can go across from one end of the city to the other, and that does not begin your Tchum count. Tchum count only begins once you step foot outside of the city. That's all if you begin Shabbos in the city. What if you begin Shabbos outside the city and your Tchum now takes you up to a city? So here we had a tremendous Chiddush that was said over by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. He says, and the distinction is to be drawn between whether or not your Tchum takes you through the entirety of the city, or the Tchum takes you only into the city but doesn't get you to the other end of the city. And the following distinction was made by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. If, in fact, your Tchum takes you to the end of a city, so that means to say now that the city is totally enveloped within your Tchum, and that city now counts to you only as Dalet Amos. So that means to say that regardless of the span of the city, as long as that city is covered within the entirety of your Tchum, so now towards your Tchum, that city only counts as Dalet Amos, and so therefore you're allowed to traverse whatever the balance is going to be after that city, and only counting that city towards 4 amos of your 2,000 amos. On the other hand, if your tchum only takes you into the city but does not get you to the other end of the city, so then your tchum is going to be whatever your tchum allowed you to go to, meaning wherever the end of tchum takes you into that city, that is going to be the end of your tchum. And the city no longer is regarded as 4 amos, but rather you can only go into the city up to where your tchum has gotten you. This distinction was made by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. What difference does it make whether or not your tchum takes you to the end of the city or tchum takes you only into the middle of the city? So it's unclear, and that's exactly what Rav Edi said. When Rav Edi heard the chiddush of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, his comment was, "Ein elu ela divrei nevios." This is prophetic, meaning that there really is no reasonable way to explain this distinction that we just drew, and that's exactly Ravidi's point. Mali kalta bechatzir, mali kalta besofir. I don't understand why it should make a difference whether or not your tchum took you through the entire city or tchum only took you halfway into the city. This is where we got up to in yesterday's daf. We're continuing now with a comment by Rava. Amar Rava, tarvayu taninu. So Rava says the truth of the matter is that as much as we don't have a reason to explain this, we don't have a svara to explain this, but this distinction is evident in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is actually coming up later on in the daf, but over here we're going to quote the Mishnah. Anche ir gadola mahalchin is called ir katana. Here we have a Mishnah which we are going to be seeing at the bottom of the Amud Aleph of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, meaning later in today's daf. And the Mishnah describes how you have two cities that are next to one another, and one is a large city and the other is a small city. And the way the Mishnah reads is that members of the large city can walk and traverse through the entire smaller city. The Ein, as we are now on the top of Samach Aleph and Aleph, the Ein Anche Yer Ketana Mahakanas Kol He Yer Gedola. But the people living in the small city cannot traverse through the entirety of the large city. Now, this distinction that is drawn out in the Mishnah, what is the rationale behind it? So, my timer. So the Gemara goes on to explain. La Mishum Dehani Kaltami Dasam Bechatzia Yer Vehani Kaltami Dasam Besofa Yer. So presumably, this distinction is predicated on exactly what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi taught us, which is that if you're living in the small town, so your tchum only takes you only midway through the large town. And since it takes you only through midway through the large town, so then you only get the tchum up to where your tchum comes to an end, and you cannot walk past that point in time. However, if you're living in a large town, so then your tchum will take you through the entirety of the small town. So now your tchum covers the entirety of the small town. That small town now to you is Dalet Amos. And then whatever the balance is after that town that you have remaining in your tchum, so then you can enjoy walking even past that point in time. That presumably is the distinction between the tchum drawn from the small town versus the tchum drawn from the large town. And this is exactly what Rav Yehoshua ben Levi said. Now, admittedly, it is a Mishnah that supports Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, but it certainly doesn't explain Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. So we're still at a loss in terms of explaining the difference, but at least now we have a Mishnah that actually speaks out this difference. Now, the Rav Edi. Now, what if you're Rav Edi? Now, on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rav Edi said he's not sure as to whether or not this is in fact correct. In other words, his response was, Ein elu ela divrei nevius. This is a prophetic statement, which means to say that there's really no basis, no rationale in halacha that would explain this distinction. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that Rav Edi rejects this position, Rav Yishuv ben Levi, but he's at a loss at explaining it. And what about the fact that we now have just learned the Mishnah together, and the Mishnah over here, at its simple reading, seems to so totally support Rav Yishuv ben Levi. So what Rav Edi is going to do is he's going to say, look, even though you're right, the Mishnah does seem to support Rav Yishuv ben Levi, but there is another way to read the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to tell us how else you could read the Mishnah. Now, in order to appreciate the upcoming Gemara, so we're going to learn together that although we read the Mishnah, we had a particular Nusach HaMishnah, as we're going to see together, there is another Nusach of the Mishnah. And what the Gemara now is going to note is that Rav Edi will learn this other Nusach of the Mishnah. What is this other Nusach of the Mishnah? Anshe Tini. The other Nusach of the Mishnah is that that both people of the large city and people of the small city can go ahead and may, in fact, be able to traverse the entirety of each other's city. Now, Umukin Labinose. Now, how could that be? Because when you have this other gears of the Mishnah, you're not talking about where you started your Tchum in your city, but rather what you did is that you moved your Erev Tchum into the other city. So by moving your Erev Tchum into the other city, so effectively what you've done now is that you've become for that Shabbos a resident of the other city. So if each of the cities do that, so then what if each member of each city did that with the other city, so then of course it goes without saying that if you're a resident, if you're normally a resident of a large city, but you made your tchum in the small city, so now the small city becomes your point of center. And conversely, the same thing would be true with the people in the small city who made their tchum in the large city. That is a way to read the Mishnah, presuming that the nusach of the Mishnah is not ein anshe, but rather anshe, meaning that both could. And there's no distinction to maybe made between the large and the small. Avamode, but continuing now in the Gemara, Avamode lo tanan. But as far as what we were describing, where your tchum actually starts in your city and you were measuring out to the next city, it could very well be that the Mishnah is not addressing that case at all. So the Gemara says, v'lo, but the Gemara says, now that's very hard to imagine because let's just read on in the Mishnah. I mean, we're going to be looking at the exact same Mishnah, the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and if you look at the end of the Mishnah, which the Gemara now quotes, v'hatanan, in the Mishnah it actually teaches us, u'la mode, for the one who is measuring tchum, sharmer noslama apai mama shafil sof midasu kala bim ma'ara. So if your tchum ends in the middle of a cave, so that's it. You can only travel to the middle of the cave. You can't go past that point in time. So you're telling me that the Mishnah is not talking about tchum and the measurement of tchum. Clearly the Mishnah is talking about the measurement of tchum. So it's very difficult to imagine that you're telling me the Mishnah is not talking about measuring tchum when clearly the Mishnah is. So the Gemara says, Sofa yirtz d'rechle. So the Gemara says, no. That as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case where your tchum ends in the middle of town, or more accurately, the Mishnah is talking about where your tchum ends in the middle of a cave. But still, you're right. That part of the Mishnah is undisputed. However, sof ha'ir itzterechle. As far as Rav Yishuv ben Levi was concerned, he was dealing with the other side of the Chiddush, which is not when your tchum ends in the middle of town, but rather when your tchum ends at the end of town. Meaning, if your tchum is able to take you through the entirety of the town, so now that town to you becomes four amos. The lo tanan, that was not taught in the Mishnah. So yes, it's true, the case of the Modeid, where Tchum ends in the middle of town, that was taught in the Mishnah. But the other point, which Rav Yishuv ben Levi is highlighting, that was not taught in the Mishnah. Okay. So what we just had now is a back and forth in terms of the upcoming Mishnah, whether or not that is supportive of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. So the simpler reading of the Mishnah is that it is supportive of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. But we just learned that there is another Nusach HaMishnah, and if you're learning the other Nusach of the Mishnah, so then our Mishnah is not necessarily a pure support for Rav Yishuv ben Levi. I'm Rav Nachman, continuing now in the Gemara. Rav Nachman says, "Mandani anshe lo mishtabish, u'mandani ein anshe lo mishtabish." There are two Gersos of the Mishnah, as we've gone over, and Rav Nachman says that both of them are supportable. Mandani anshe lo mishtabish, if your Nusach HaMishnah is the word anshe, meaning that your Mishnah is telling us that each member of each town can actually go to the next town, the Mukulam Benosim. We're talking about a case where each town member is putting their Erev Tchum in the next town over. Now, if your Nusach of the Mishnah is Ein Anshe, which means that members of the small city are not allowed to traverse through the entirety of the large city, So how do you understand that? It's talking about measuring, meaning that your tchum started in your city, and now what you're doing is that you are measuring your tchum into the next city over. Now, as far as reading the Mishnah is concerned, so we're going to have to add a little bit in terms of understanding the Mishnah, but this is how the Mishnah would read. Anshe ir gadol mahachin is called ir katana. That if you're a member of the large city, now you can go ahead and walk through the entirety of the small city. Ve'in anshe ir katana, mahachin is called ir gadola. But people of the small city cannot walk through the entirety of the large city. Ba'medvar mamorim ba'modein. That's talking about specifically when you're measuring, which means that you started your tchum in your city, and now going from your city, you're measuring out into the next city over. So again, just to reiterate, if you're in the large town, so your tchum is going to take you through the entirety of the small city. So again, as per the Chiddush of Yeshua ben Levi, so that means now that the small city for you is just 4 amos. And now whatever the balance is of your tchum is after the city, so you're going to be able to walk through the city and even beyond the city. On the other hand, if you're starting off in the small city and you're measuring in the direction of the large city, because your tchum is only taking you into the middle of the large city, so your tchum stops in the middle of the large city. Now, here's the part of the Mishnah which, at first reading, is not super clear, but in our chesuri mechzora, in our reading the Mishnah with its edited piece, here's how the Mishnah would sound. If you place your eruv, and v'hiniyachas eruv b'ir katana, and you put your eruv in the small city, so haya b'ir katana, v'hiniyachas eruv b'ir gadola, or conversely, if you're in the small city and you're putting your eruv in the large city, mahalach is kula v'chutz ala apaimama. So now the city is your point of center, and since it's your point of center, you're now able to walk from the city in 2,000 amas in every direction. Okay, adkan, so we basically have taken ourselves through the Mishnah. Now, again, by the way, it's so funny, we haven't even seen the Mishnah yet inside, but now we have a good way to read the Mishnah. Actually, we have two good ways to read the Mishnah. There are two acceptable nuschos of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Ir Sheyoshev Es Al Sfas HaNachal. The Gemara now discusses a city that is right alongside the edge of a cliff. It's a cliff, it's a ravine. Whatever the case is that living in that city is a bit frightful, as a couple steps right outside the city, and you're going to fall into you're going to fall off the big edge. So im yesh lafanei daka arba'a modin din la misfas hanachal v'im lav emon la el mipesach beisa. So how to qualify this as a city? Because the city is right next to a ravine, so what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to build a wall, a security wall that goes right up against the ravine. Now in the Gemara we have the word that you're going to that the wall you're going to build is daka arba'a. Grammatically, as we've gone over a number of times, the word arba'a is lashon zachar, that's male, and that means it would be referring to tfachim, but it's going to be clear in the Gemara that we're not talking about tfachim, but rather we're talking about amo. So perhaps the girsa, the Gemara, should not be arba'a, but rather arba. This point is going to become clear in the Gemara. So you have to make basically a guard wall of 4 amos right up against the edge of the cliff, otherwise it is not going to be considered a valid city. In fact, if it's not going to be considered a valid city, so that means that you're not given the tchum of the city. What does your tchum begin? The moment you step foot out of the house. This is actually very similar to what we learned a little bit earlier in this perek. Remember, we talked about the tzrifim, we talked about the people who were living in huts and these nomadic tribes, and even though they configure looking something like a city, but nevertheless, because they are nomadic and because they are transient, so therefore their city is not going to be regarded as a city, and your tchum is not going to be based on the city, but rather tchum is going to be predicated on just simply walking outside your house. Same thing over here. If this is not a safe and secure city because of this cliff that's on the edge of town, and there is no wall that's guarding, that's protecting the members of the city, so then this city is not regarded as a city, and tchum begins the moment you step foot out of the house. Amalei Abaye Daka Arba Amos Amart Lan Allah. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, so the wall is going to be 4 amos high. Again, like I said just moments earlier, but it's because I knew the Gemara upcoming. So it's got to be 4 amos high. Maishan be called Daka Dama Da Arba'a. Now, generally speaking, when we're talking about a Daka, we just spoke recently in the Gemara a number of cases where all you need is just a small wall, just simply to indicate and let people know that this is not the exit that we're using. So we're talking about a wall that is only 4 tfachim high, and now we're talking about a wall that's 4 amos high. But the Gemara gives an answer, which is actually pretty obvious. Amalei hasam lo bi'itu tashmishta, hacha bi'itu tashmishta. The Gemara says over here, the wall is used in order to protect the people in the city so that they will not fall over the cliff. You need a significant wall. If your wall is only 4 tefachim high, that's very little, maybe a foot off the ground. So the thereabouts. So that's not going to protect people from falling off the cliff. So therefore, you need a serious protective wall that's going to be 4 amas high. 4 amas high is going to be more than the average height of a person. The average height of a person is 3 amas, like we've gone over a number of times. So a 4 amas wall high is really going to be there to serve and protect the members of the community, making them feel like they have now a real city. But the other areas where we needed just simply this daka, this small wall, so there it wasn't for purposes of fear and concern, so therefore it doesn't have to be 4 amas high, it's good enough for it's 4 tefachim high. Am Rav Yosef Manamin Alan. Now this halacha that was said over by Rav Yosef, he says, I'm going to cite a precedent for it based on a brisa, the Tanya we learned on the following brisa. Here to Rebbe Shiyu b'nei geder yordin le'chamasan, ve'ein b'nei chamasan olin le'geder. So there was the following incident or scenario, in which you had two towns that were basically on the edge, not on the edge, but on the side of a cliff. One was the town of Geder, and the other was the town of Chamsan. The town of Geder was higher up, perched higher up on the mountain, and Chamsan was a little bit lower. And we don't know many of the details right now, but we do know the following, and that is Rebbe allowed the members of the people of Geder to go down to Chamsan, but the people in Chamsan cannot go on to Geder on Shabbos. Now, that's all we know. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to give analysis in terms of why that should be. What exactly were the circumstances that revolved this psak of Rebbe? And the first of many explanations, we're going to give a total of 4 explanations when all said and done. But the first of many explanations is going to be based on what we just suggested. That really what we're looking at over here is a protective wall. My time alam mishum dahani avadaka. So it could be that the people of Geder, they were the ones living higher up on the mountain, so they had this protective wall. And because they had this protective wall, so therefore they felt like a real community and a real city, and so therefore their tchum begins only after the wall. V'hani lo avidaka, but the people in Chamsan who are living below, so they don't have a protective wall, and so therefore their tchum does not, they don't really have a city. Their tchum only begins from the exit of the door. And so therefore, the people living in the higher Geder city are going to have a tchum that actually extends even longer because their tchum doesn't begin until the protective wall that is right outside their city, which is actually closer to Chamsan. On the other hand, the people in Chamsan do not have this protective wall. Their tchum is going to begin only when they step right outside the door. That could be the discrepancy between the people in Geder being able to walk to Chamsan, but the people in Chamsan not being able to walk to Geder. That is one possibility, but the Gemara now is going to give multiple other explanations in terms of what's happening over here. He also, Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, let me give an entirely different pshat over here, and that is, Tatruge mitatruge luhu b'nei Geder l'vnei Chamasan. The people of Geder, so they were barbaric. Okay, sorry for the strong language, but they were barbaric in nature. And they would terrorize the people of Chamsan. And Umay Hitter, now when we say that Rebbe was Matir, it means Hitkin, it just simply means that he made an institution. Meaning, this really had nothing to do with Shabbos, it had nothing to do with a halacha per se, it really just simply had to do with protection. Meaning, since the people of Geder were so terrorizing, so Rebbe told the people of Geder, you may not go to Chamsan on Shabbos, Umayshan on Shabbos. Now the obvious question, if this is a question of one city terrorizing another city, so then why doesn't Rebbe just simply say, people of Geder, you may never go to Chamsan. What does this have to do specific to Shabbos? So the Gemara says, D'shchichei be'shechros. So the Gemara says, well, on Shabbos, people drink, and people drink a lot, and people get drunk. And people in Geder, for the most part, can control themselves, but you add a little bit of alcohol to the mix-in, and at that point in time, Geder just simply becomes uncontrollable. And if Geder were allowed, the people of Geder were allowed to go to Chamsan, so they would terrorize the people of Chamsan. Ki azal lahasam nami mitashrig elohu. So the Gemara says, okay, so the people, Rebbe allowed the people of Geder to go to Chamsan. The people of Geder, when they would go to Chamsan, the people, right, the people of Chamsan, sorry, I confuse myself just a little bit. So the people of Chamsan can't go together because if the people of Chamsan went together, so the members, the terrorizing members of the city of Gedar would go ahead and terrorize the people of Chamsan and they would get injured and hurt. So that's why Rebbe said don't go. The Gemara says, okay. So, but at the same time, however, within Rebbe's institution, he allowed people of Gedar to go to Chamsan. So the Gemara's question is why? In other words, if they're terrorizing people, so why would the people of Gedar, the terrorizing people of Gedar, be allowed to go to Chamsan? So the Gemara's answer is Kava below Masye Shev Shinin Lo Navach. So the Gemara has a great expression, which is that if you have a dog that is outside its own city, so then for 7 years it's not going to bark. Okay, for those who appreciate sports, basically we're looking at is hometown advantage. Meaning when you're on your home court, so you feel a lot more comfortable and you're going to be a lot more aggressive. On the other hand, when you're away, so you're going to be somewhat more domicile. So the Gemara says that the people of Gedar, even though they are when home, they're terrorizing, but when they go to Chamsan, so they're away, and so they're not going to be as terrorizing. So the Gemara says, Hashanami, Metachiku Gad B'nei Chamsan L'B'nei Gedar. So the Gemara says, well, if the people of Gedar are going to be somewhat more domicile when they go to Chamsan, doesn't it give the people of Chamsan a great opportunity to take revenge and to come up? And as much as the Torah prohibits it, but at the same time, you understand, for all these years, Gedar has been terrorizing Chamsan, and so now the people of Gedar are coming to Chamsan. Aren't we worried that the people of Chamsan now are going to use this as an opportunity for revenge? So the Gemara says, Kulei hai lo kaifa lehu. The Gemara says, yeah, but we're not that worried about that. In other words, as much as the people of Gedar are going to be somewhat more subdued when they go to Chamsan, they're not going to roll over. And if the people of Chamsan went ahead and tried to start up with the people of Gedar, even though the people of Gedar are now out of town, now they're the away team, but still they're going to put up a fight. And so basically, Rebbe was pretty comfortable with the idea that for the most part, people of Gedar going to the people of Chamsan, so that'll keep the peace. But if the people of Chamsan go to the people of Gedar, so then it's going to be really bad for the people of Chamsan. And so that's why Rebbe said that for Shabbos, when the people of Gedar are drunk, so the people of Chamsan should not go to the town of Gedar. It has nothing to do with Shabbos. The only thing that has to do with Shabbos is that there's just more drinking done on Shabbos, and that's why in Shabbos it's a more dangerous activity. That's another explanation to explain what exactly is going on over here with this incident of Rebbe allowing people of Gedar going down to the people of Chamsan. The Gemara now gives two more explanations. Rav Safra Amar Ira Sui Kekesha Savai. Rav Safra says that Chamsan was a town that was shaped like the bow. Okay, this got a lot of play over here in our perek, and as we're finishing the perek today, so we get to visit this idea one more time. We have a city shaped like a bow, and so we know that the entire interior area of the bow is going to be considered within part and parcel of the city, but that's only when the two ends of the bow are within 4,000 amos one another. But if the distance between the ends of the bow are greater than 4,000 amos, so then we do not measure the tchum based on the imaginary bow string, but rather we have to go to the actual city itself on the top of the bow. The case over here is that the people of Chamsan, so their city was shaped like a bow, and the distance between the ends of the bow are greater than 4,000 amos. So as far as the people of Chamsan are concerned, so they were within the border of Gedar. Gedar was a very large town. Now, even though the people of Chamsan had a tchum going to Gedar, but it didn't go all the way through Gedar. Everything I'm saying over here, by the way, is Rashi's explanation. On the other hand, the people of Gedar who had a large town, so their tchum got you not only into Chamsan, but all the way through Chamsan as well. And so therefore, Rebbe said that because the people of Gedar had a tchum that went all the way through Chamsan, so therefore he allowed the people of Gedar to go to Chamsan. On the other hand, because the people of Chamsan from the top of the bow did not have a tchum that took us all the way through the city of Gedar, so Rebbe said, I don't want people from Chamsan going together because they're going to erroneously think that their tchum will allow them to go through the entire city, and it's not true. Tchum only allows you to go to wherever the tchum takes you up to. Basically, just if I can try to put these in other words, make this a little bit more simpler, even though the Gemara gave a complicated scenario of a boat city next to a regular city, it's basically the construct of a large city and a small city. Gedar being the large city, Chamsan being the small city. Okay, the Gemara just wanted to use this opportunity to go over with us again this idea of the Bode City. It happens to be in this perek a topic that comes up multiple times. Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, we are here now giving one more pshat in this heter of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rav Dimi Bar Chinna Amar Anshei Gedol of Anshei Katana Havai. His explanation is very simple. In other words, the city of Gedor, the city of Chamsan, was a large city, small city construct. So that Gedor was not within the was not totally within the tchum of Chamsan, but the opposite was not true. Chamsan was totally within the tchum of Gedor. Basically, what we just got done explaining, but without the sophistication of the Bode City. Okay, and so basically, that's another way to explain why it is that Rebbe said that the people of Gedor, can go to Chamsan, but the people of Chamsan cannot go to Gedor. Okay, and then just to finish up the sugya, Rav Kahana Masni Hachi, Rav Tevyumi Masni Hachi, we have different ways in terms of how to learn it. Rav Kahana taught the Gemara the way we just presented it. Rav Tevyumi learned it a little bit differently. Rav Safar, Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, Chanamar Ir Asui Kekeshes Havai, Vechanamar Ir Anshe'ir Ketana V'Anshe'ir Gedola Havai. Okay, and according to Rav Tevyumi's version, it's Rav Safa and Rav Dimi Bar Chinna who gave these explanations of a Bode city next to a non-Bode city, and the other explanation of a large city next to a small city. Okay, basically, it's just a question of attribution. That's all. But the explanations come out to be the same explanations. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf, and we start and continue here with the Mishnah. Anshe Ir Gedola Mehalchin is called Ir Ketana. So as we already know, we've seen this Mishnah, we've discussed this Mishnah at length in today's daf, but now we get to see the Mishnah inside, and we also already know that there are two legitimate ways to read the Mishnah. One way, which I'm going to read right now, is Anshe Ir Gedola Mehalchin is called Ir Ketana. People of the large town can go ahead and walk all the way through the small town. The Anshe Ir Ketana Mehalchin is called Ir Gedola. And people in the small town can walk through the entirety of the large town. Now, that's one way to read the Mishnah, the way I just read it. And that means to say that we're not talking about the measuring of tchum, but rather we're talking about where each city member is putting their tchum in the other city. Meaning this is a classic example of setting up an Erev Tchum in the city next over. Once you set up your Erev Tchum in the city next over, that city now becomes your Makom Shvisa. And now your 2,000 Amos are going now. It's starting in that city, but only after you exit that city. The other way to read the Mishnah, I'll do it again. I'm going to read the Mishnah again with the other nusach of the Mishnah. Anshi Ir Gedol Mahachin is called Ir Ketana. Ve'in Anshi Ir Ketana Mahachin is called Ir Gedola. Now, that way where I just read the Mishnah is going to be predicated on the idea that we aren't measuring, meaning you didn't move your tchum. Your tchum is where you start off in the city. It just happens to be that if you're in the large city, so your tchum is going to take you through the entirety of the small city. And so if your tchum envelops an entire city, so that city to you is Dal Amos. That's the Chiddush of Rav Yehuda ben Levi. If, on the other hand, you're in the small city, your tchum only takes you into the center or somewhere thereabouts within the large city, and because the tchum doesn't take you through the entire city, so now your tchum is going to stop wherever it stops. And so the large city is no longer is not considered to you to be four amos, but rather your tchum is only going to be whatever it gets you up to. That's the other way to read the Mishnah. So again, as per the way we described it earlier in the daf. Ketzad, here the Mishnah goes on to explain, Mishahaya Bir Gedola, Vinasan Ezeruva Bir Katana, you're in the big city and you move your Eruv. In other words, you set up an Eruv Tchum in the small city. Bir Katana, Vinasan Ezeruva Bir Gedola, or the opposite. Mahalach Eskula V'chutzola Apai Mama. So then that city now becomes your Makom Shvisa, and now you're allowed to walk 2,000 Amos outside of that city. Rebbe Akiva Omer, Ein Lo Ela Mimakom Eruva Apai Mama. Now Rebbe Akiva is of the position that if you took your Erev Tchum and moved it into another city, you do not get the entire city, but rather your Tchum is just simply from the your Erev Tchum that you set up, and the entire city is not outside of the count, but that rather is included in the count. So Amalahem Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said to the Chachamim in the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, yet modemly, aren't you going to agree, but in Eruva b'mara, that if you put your Eruv in a cave, she'ein lo ela mimakom Eruva apay mama, that you only are afforded 2,000 amos from where you set up your Erev and you don't get the whole cave. So Amrlo, they said back to them, Emazab is Manche'in Badiurin. It's talking about an uninhabited cave of Yesh Badiurin, but if you're talking about a residential cave, so then Mahalach is Kula V'chutzal HaPayim Amos. So then, for starters, that whole cave to you now becomes Dal Amos, and your 2,000 amos begins only after the cave. So, V'nimsa Kal Tocha Me'al Gavah. Comes out something interesting, that if we're talking about a residential cave, then setting up the tchum in the cave is actually going to create more of a leniency than setting up the tchum above the cave. Since the cave is residential, so by definition now, the cave already is not, doesn't even start the counting of your tchum. Your tchum only begins after the cave. On the other hand, if you put it on top of the cave, where it's a non-residential area, so then your tchum begins at your actual Eruv. Okay, so the difference between setting it up in the residential cave versus setting it up on top of the cave, which is non-residential. Ulemode, finishing up the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, now as far as somebody who's measuring, Sha'amru nosnin alpai mama, so you're given 2,000 amos, Sha'afilu sof midasar kala b'ma'ara. And that means to say that if your measurements finish in a cave, so then that's where you have to stop. You can't go past your measurement. And that's talking about where the measurement is, doesn't take you through the entire cave, but basically finishes in the middle of the cave. We are on Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We're starting with the Gemara's discussion. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We are on the very top of the Amud. Shabbos Bir Chareva. Let's say you start off Shabbos in a town, but it's non-residential. There are walls around it, says Rashi, but it's a non-residential town. So according to the Chachamim, so that town is going to be not counted towards your tchum, meaning tchum only begins outside of the town, but not in the interior of the town. Now that's talking about where you actually positioned yourself. You put yourself in that town. But if you didn't position yourself in that town going into Shabbos, but rather what you did is you put your Erev in the town, so then ein lo mimakam Eruvo ela apayim ama. So then you're only starting your count from the Erev itself, meaning the city is not going to, the city does not count as anything, and your tchum begins at your actual Erev. So that is the opinion of Rav Yehuda Mashmuel. So according to Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, when we're talking about an uninhabited city, so there's going to be a distinction to be made between starting off physically in that city, where now the city is for you, Dal Amos, and then your tchum only begins outside the city, versus making setting up an area of tchum in an uninhabited city, where under those circumstances, your tchum begins actually at your Erev, and the city is not going to help you at all. That's all Shitas Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Elazar Amar, on the other side of this, is the Shita Rav Elazar, and he says, Echad Shabbos, Echad Hiniach, Mahalach is Kula V'chusel HaPai Mama. No distinction to be made whether you're physically starting off Shabbos in that town, in that desolate town, or you're setting up your Erev Tchum in that town, it's going to be the same conclusion. The town is your Dal Amos, and then your Tchum only begins outside the town. Meisvei, the Rav Elazar's position is going to be challenged based on the Mishnah. We're going to go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to look at that dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Amalim Rabbi Kiva. So remember, Rabbi Kiva said to the Chachamim, Mi'at ha-modem li, benosin es eruva b'ma'ara, she'in lo mimakom eruva ela apay ma'ama. So Rabbi Kiva says, you Chachamim agree with me, that if I set up my Eruv in a cave, so then you can only measure from the Eruv itself, and the cave does not count towards your 2,000 amos. So the Gemara said, the cave doesn't help you at all. Your 2,000 amos begin at the Eruv. So Amru lo, so they say back to him, Emesab is mancha ein badiurim. So the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Kiva, yeah, that's talking about a non-residential cave. Now, in this dialogue, what we learn together is that if it's a non-residential cave, so the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Kiva. So now that would indicate that when we're talking about a non-residential area, even though it's a enclosed area, if you're starting off Shabbos over there with an Erev Tchum, so your Tchum begins from the Erev, and you do not get that enclosed area as a Dal Amos. In other words, your Tchum begins mamish at the Erev itself. So the Gemara says, okay, this certainly seems to support the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol, and it seems to be against the Shita of Rabbi Lazar. But the Gemara defends. So my ein bad yurin, ena reuya lidira. So in terms of understanding the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that it was non-residential, it means it wasn't fit for residence, meaning it barely was an enclosed area. Rashi describes it as basically the walls are either collapsed or on the verge of collapsing. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's do this again. Shabbos Be'ir, afilu higadola kantiyochia. If, let's say, you start off Shabbos in a city, and it was a big city, the city as large as Antioch. Oh, Bimari starting off in a cave. Afilu hi kamarat Sidkiyahu melech Yehuda. The cave was as big as the caves of Sidkiyahu. Ma'alech iskula v'chutzal apai mama. So then as far as Shabbos is concerned, so now the cave itself, the city itself, is going to be your Dal Ramos, and then your Tchum only begins after the cave. Now, Ketani Yerdom Yedemara. Now here, in this brisa that we just went together, so you clearly had a parallel between a city and a cave. So Mama Arech Harevav, Ir Hareva, so presumably the cave is uninhabited, the city is uninhabited, and Vishabasin, and the brisa is talking about a case where you physically start off Shabbos in that city. Aval Hinechlo, but if you didn't physically start off, and you're only establishing a Makom Shvisa based on an Erev Tchum, so then no. So then we wouldn't say that the city is your Dalan Amos, we would say that your Tchum begins at the Makom Shvisa itself. So Mani the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, whose position is this? Elam Rabbi Kiva, my area Chareva, Fili Yeshiva Nami. Now as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, Rabbi Kiva is not going to make a distinction between an inhabited and uninhabited city. Rabbi Kiva is of the position that if your Makom Shvisa is starting with a Tchum, with an area of Tchum, so then it doesn't make a difference. Your 2,000 Amos begins at your Makom Shvisa. Under all circumstances, I feel Yeshiva Nami, even if it's inhabited. So Elalav Rabbanan, so it must be that the author of this brisa is a Chachamim. The time of the Shabbos in, Aval Hiniachlo. And in this brisa, we've just made a really clear distinction between physically starting off there on Shabbos versus having an Erev Tchum over there. So the Gemara says, if that all this is true, so once again, this is against the position of Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar said that within the Shita of the Chachamim, whether you physically start off Shabbos there, or if you started off in a city that with an Erev Tchum as opposed to physically starting off over there, under both circumstances, the city is first your Dalet Amos, and your Tchum begins only outside of the city. And this brisa, as we just analyzed it, doesn't seem to support that. So the Gemara says, no, lo teme ir dumi demara, ela ima mar dumi de ir. So the Gemara says, well, it's true that the brisa does give us two cases, and obviously it allows for us to compare these cases side by side, but the Gemara says, but here's what we could do. My ir yeshiva af ma'ar yeshiva. We could say that just like a city is inhabited, so too the cave under discussion is also inhabited. V'rabi kiva hida amar. And the author of the brisa now could be attributed to Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says that you're only given 2,000 amos over Shabbos Modi. Now remember that according to Rabbi Kiva, if you physically started off your Shabbos in that area, so then Rabbi Kiva will agree that the inhabited area is going to be to you Dalet Amos, and your Tchum only begins afterwards. So that's how we could understand the brisa. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Vaha kima'ara Sidkiyahu Ketani. One of the examples of the brisa is that it was a cave of Sidkiyahu. So the Gemara says, which the Gemara assumes is uninhabited. So the Gemara says, kima'ara Sidkiyahu velo kima'ara Sidkiyahu. Not exactly. So kima'ara Sidkiyahu gedola, meaning the comparison to the cave of Sidkiyahu is that it's large. Velo kima'ara Sidkiyahu di ilo hasam chareva v'hachi yeshiva. But that's where the comparison comes to an end. In other words, but on the other hand, it's large and inhabited, unlike the actual caves of Sidkiyahu, which is large and uninhabited. Okay, what comes out from all this is the following: so that in our Mishnah, if let's quickly recap the Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, and where we end in terms of the halacha. In our Mishnah, if you start off a Shabbos in a city, so according to all opinions. And it's an inhabited city. So according to all opinions, that city to you now is going to be Dal Amos, and your Tchum only begins outside of the city. Everyone agrees to that. If it was a Tchum that you made in a city, so if it's a Tchum that you made in a city, so we have over here, presumably a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Now, if it's a tchum that's put in an uninhabited city, so presumably here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Kiva would say that your actual 2,000 amos are going to be measured from your Erev Tchum, whereas the Chachamim would say no, that the city itself now is considered your city, considered your Dal Amos, and your 2,000 amos are going to be measured only outside of the city. So that means that according to the Chachamim, it does not matter whether you physically start off Shabbos in that city or you establish that city to be your Makom Shisa by putting an Erev Tchum in that city. In this machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Kiva, we also had a machlokes Amoraim between Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel versus Rabbi Elazar. And that is, what if we did this in an uninhabited city? So would the Chachamim still maintain that in an uninhabited city, and it wasn't that you physically started in that city, but rather you started that you created that city to be Makom Shvisa based on an Erev Tchum, so are we going to say the same thing by an uninhabited city? So Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel says that in such a circumstance, the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Kiva, whereas Rabbi Elazar would say no. That even under those circumstances, the Chachamim would dispute Rabbi Kiva and say that the city is your, is the entire city is your Dalet Amos, and your Tchum only begins after the city. Ad Kan, that takes us now almost to the end, with just one more story to conclude. Mar Yehuda Ashkechinu Livnei Mavrachta. So Mar Yehuda was in the city of Mavrachta, the Kamosu Eruv Bebekinisha Debe Agovar. And what they did is that they placed an Eruv Tchum in the synagogue of Agovar. And basically what's happening over here is that the shul that was in discussion over here happened to have been a huge building. It was a very large edifice. Now, it was outside of town. Now, it was entirely in the tchum of this town of Mavrachta. In terms of where in the shul they put the Erev Tchum, so really, it didn't matter. It didn't make a difference. But anyway, so Amar Lahu, so Mar Yehuda said, Guz Bei Tfei. What he wanted to do is that he wanted to move the Erev Tchum to the far end of the building. And Kihech Delishter L'chul Tfei. And so what he was trying to argue was the following, is that he wanted to be able to walk not only to the shul, but even after walking to the shul on Shabbos, which the Erev Tchum would allow you to do, but then he wanted to walk even past the shul, 2,000 amos in the other direction after the shul. Now, his thought process is that the Tchum is going to be actually marked off by wherever the Erev Tchum is. Now, this is the position of Rabbi Kiva, and this is not the consensus position, meaning it's not the Chachamim's position. Remember, according to the Chachamim, it makes no difference whether or not you physically start off Shabbos in a location or if you set up your Erev Tchum in that location. As long as it's an enclosed area, according to the Chachamim, you are going to be afforded, you're going to be given that entire area as your Dal Amos, and your Tchum only begins afterwards. So according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter where in the shul your Erev Tchum is going to go, because that Erev Tchum is going to be koneh for you, that Makom Shvisa. The Makom Shvisa is going to be the entirety of the shul, and your Tchum is only going to be counted after the shul. So, the Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, it really doesn't matter. So, Amar Le Rava, so Rava says to Mar Yehuda, Palga'a. He says, look, you're a bit of a troublemaker, right? Rashi describes it. Cholek al Chachamim ata. So Rav says to Rav Yehuda, Mar Yehuda, he says, you're a bit of a troublemaker. The Erevin leis techashle to Rabbi Akiva. Look, this is an Erevin issue. No one over here is concerned for the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. No one over here is thinking that your Tchum is only beginning from the actual Erev Tchum itself when it's in a structure, when it's an enclosed area. And so we subscribe to the Shita of the Chachamim. That means to say that the entire enclosed area is your Makom Shvisa. And then from there, you could be walking 2,000 amos after the building, and it really makes no difference where in the building the Erev is going to be placed. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of the Perek, and it gives us an opportunity to review. We start off this morning with a discussion of Rav Yishuv ben Levi in terms of if you are starting Tchum outside a city, and your Tchum now takes you into a city, so the distinction that was made by Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi in terms of whether Tchum takes you through the entire city or whether Tchum only takes you somewhere into the city. And the distinction that he made is the following. If it takes you through the entire city now only counts as Dala Amos. If it only takes you into a city, so then every step is counted towards your Tchum, and that means to say that wherever your Tchum stops, that's as far as you can go, you can go no further. Okay? This distinction is difficult to give a svara to. In fact, that was Ravidi's comment, and that it was described as different Nevius. But the Gemara says, but nevertheless, it is an accepted position of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. With that stated, the Gemara spent some time trying to figure out whether or not the Mishnah, which happens to be in today's daf on Samech Aleph, whether or not this Mishnah is going to be supportive of this halacha of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And to make a somewhat longer story short, there are two girsos of the Mishnah, there are two nuschos of the Mishnah. One nusach of the Mishnah is certainly supportive of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, but there is also another nusach of Mishnah, just as legitimate, which is not necessarily going to be supportive of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Doesn't discredit Rav Yeshua ben Levi, but not is not necessarily going to support him. Then we went through on Samech Aleph and Aleph, the incident of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, where there were two towns that were next to each other. They were on the edge, they were on the side of a mountain. Gedr being a little bit higher in Chamsan, and what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi allowed is for the members of Gedr to walk to Chamsan, but the people of Chamsan not to walk to Gedr. Now, why should that be? So, there was, the first suggestion of the Gemara is that it has to do with the fact that because they live on the side of a mountain, so the only way the people of Gedr, or for that matter, any town member, is going to feel like they have a permanent town and somewhat secured is only if they have a wall on the outskirts of their city. Then and only then do they feel like they have a secure town, and so therefore, Tchum is only going to begin outside the town. On the other hand, without that supportive wall around the city, so then they don't feel that they have a secure town. If you don't feel you have a secure town, so you're more like a nomadic group, and like we learned earlier in this parak, when you have a nomadic group, so your tchum is not outside the city, but your tchum starts when the moment you step foot outside your door. That is one way the Gemara suggested understanding this incident of Gedr and Chamsan, but the Gemara gave no less than three other ways to explain the Pesach of Rebbe regarding Gedr and Chamsan. Then we went through the Mishnah on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph on the bottom of the Amud. We're there. The Mishnah takes us through, well, I have two towns next to each other, a large town and a small town. And again, there are two different ways to stay over the Mishnah. There are two nuschos of the Mishnah. Not going to go through both right now. But the basic idea is that if I have a large town, so I'm allowed to go ahead and traverse through the entirety of the small town. But if I'm in a small town, I may not necessarily be able to go on Shabbos throughout the entirety of the large town because my tchum is going to end in the middle of that large town. That's one way to stay over the Mishnah. And again, the way I just said it over is certainly going to be supportive of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Then, the Mishnah brought down a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Kiva. A distinction is made, according to Rabbi Kiva, whether you start physically in a town on Shabbos or you put your Erev Tchum in a town on Shabbos. If you start physically in a town on Shabbos, that town to you now is Dala Amos, your Tchum only begins outside of the town. On the other hand, if you're putting your Erev Tchum in a town, and I'll add, an uninhabited town, so then, according to Rabbi Kiva, your tchum does not cover the entirety of the city, but your tchum actually starts with your Erev Tchum. And that city is not given to you as Dala Amos. This is Rabbi Kiva. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, no distinctions to be made, whether or not you're physically starting in the town, or you are starting off, you're establishing the town to be your center through an Erev Tchum. According to the Chachamim, no distinction is to be made. In the Gemara on the Amud Beis, we saw a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this distinction, according to the Chachamim, meaning what we just said is the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, but within the sheet of the Chachamim, so according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, a similar distinction is to be drawn, whether or not you're starting Shabbos in an uninhabited town, but it's an enclosure around it, or you're making that town your Makom Shvisa through an Erev Tchum in the uninhabited town. And there, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol says that if you're physically starting over there, so then you get the town, and then Tchum after on the outside of town. On the other hand, in an uninhabited town, if you're only establishing the town to be your Makom Shvisa through an Erev Tchum, so then your Tchum actually begins at the Makom Shvisa, and you're not given the entire town. That is Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Elazar disagrees. Rav Elazar says that even if it's an uninhabited town, according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter whether this town is yours because you physically start off in the town, or if you establish this town to be your point of center through an Erev Tchum. Under both circumstances, the halacha is that the town to you is Dal Amos, and then your Tchum only begins outside of town. And then the back and forth in terms of whether or not Rav Elazar's position is defensible based on the Mishnah and the inferences that we drew from the Mishnah. And finally, the last thing we finished off this perek is a story in which they set up an Erev Tchum in a shul that was outside of town, and a question as to whether or not you're given the entire shul as your Makom Shvisa, and the Gemara's clear conclusion is that you are given the entirety of the shul as your Makom Shvisa. I mean, in other words, we subscribe to the Shita of the Chachamim, not the Shita of Rabbi Kiva.